Hey there, Marina Joy here from Tween Talk. And if you've ever felt like a broken record, you know that constantly reminding your tween, just do the work already. You're not alone. This week, I'm going to show you one simple shift that gets your tween to start taking ownership of when they do their work so that you don't have to keep managing every single minute. This is going to mean less work for you and starting to put that independence onto your tween, which is what we want, right? We want them to become independent learners as part of this growing up process. But first, excuse me, a quick recap. So last week, we were all about getting organized, not just your curriculum, but your mindset. Mindset seems to be this overused term, and often we can think, oh, yeah, mindset, mindset. It is a big deal. We looked at what is the long-term goal for your child? How are we going to get there? How are we thinking about homeschooling? We looked at subjects you're focusing on, how your tween learns best, and what you can accomplish in a period of 12 weeks. Now, this is probably the first time you're hearing about this 12-week homeschool method. So it's unlikely that you're doing a 12-week homeschool at this moment. So we're getting things set up. We're getting the ideas, the methodology, so you can put this together and move forward after this 12 weeks. We weren't trying to plan the whole year. We were just creating a flexible but focused starting point. Now, last week, if all you did was sit down and talk to your child about what are they interested in, where are they headed, what would they like to do, what do they think they would like to do, and actually opening up that dialogue, starting to have conversation, you're well on your way. You have made progress. Awesome. So now this week, we're going to shift from what they're doing to when they're doing it. Now, here's why this matters. Your child might not say out loud that, oh, mom, I really want to feel capable. I want to feel like I'm in charge. They're not going to tell you that. They don't necessarily have the language around that, but they do want to feel capable. They want to feel like they're in charge of something. They're moving from those childhood years where you did everything for them, you told them exactly what to do. And part of this growing up is they're breaking free from that. And they want to feel like I can do it on my own. So if you're getting attitude and pushback, likely a lot of that is this striving desire for independence, which is natural and normal. And we need to help facilitate that. So part of that, I know for me, I had to learn to let go. Or I always had this image of like a leash. You know, you have those leashes where you can like keep letting out more leash. I know we're talking about kids and talking about dogs, the analogy, work with me here. So you have the dog on the leash. The dog stays right next to you. You've got him on a short leash. That's a common expression. Yes. They have me on a short leash, meaning you have no freedom, but also no responsibilities. As responsibilities increase, so does freedom. That leash starts letting out. That's kind of what we're doing with our kids. So when we first, I know when we first started this 12-week homeschool methodology, initially, it was very supervised by me. It was that short leash. It was like, okay, so what are we going to do? How is this going to work? And then as we worked through it, that leash extended. There was more responsibility on their part, and I was still there as overseeing, but the kids started becoming more and more independent. And that is what we want. Really, that is what you want. The beauty is, as you talk to your child and learn how to have these conversations, they learn how to push back appropriately. So when they say, I can't do math first thing in the morning, and you say, but we always do math first thing in the morning. Why? They're not being disrespectful if they push back. They might be disrespectful in how they're pushing back, but they might not know how to push back. So you'll have to teach them how to have those conversations. But you can say, okay, and today, as we're talking about something called anchor times, you'll see how they can start taking more responsibility for their work. You have to be less like, we do this at this time. And they have to pick it up a little bit. And if they say they want to do math in the afternoon, then they actually have to do math in the afternoon. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. Here we go. So they want to feel capable. They want to feel like they're in charge. Let me do that. Then you let them do that. And they fail and you think, oh, I should have done it myself. No, you shouldn't have. Failure is part of this process and it is okay. It is 100% okay. We need to have a plan for when things happen. Because if you don't, we just start spinning our wheels. Things don't get done. We procrastinate. We avoid. There's frustration. But instead of what you may have done in the past, maybe you set up a schedule and this is when we do this. And we have our morning time together and then we do math and then we do reading and whatever it is that you had. They're going to start planning their own time. So again, you need to let go a little bit. They're still going to get their stuff done, probably with less hassle, less, fighting back and forth about it. But it has to be a structure that works within your house. So we have these things called anchor times, and they are a game changer. So instead of saying we do things at 10 o'clock and then 10:30 and 11 and so on, you're going to look at your day and you're going to break up your day by things that you do every single day. And there are only a few things that you do every single day. One of them is eating and the other is sleeping or relaxing, downtime. So you're going to break up your day, whatever that looks like for you. So we have breakfast. Breakfast is a definitive point in the day. You probably have a morning snack. Let's be clear. We're not going to build a schedule around a clock. We're going to build it around these anchors. And most of these anchors have to do with eating. Because if your kids are anything like my kids, where when they were that age, they're always hungry. And they always want to eat. And sometimes that eating is a comfort thing, and sometimes it's a hunger thing. Whatever the case, what I found is when I set those eating times throughout the day, things settle down. I wasn't always being asked for a snack. I didn't feel like a vending machine. And as time went on, they learned, okay, this is what I can have for a snack. They learned to make their own snacks. They took turns making dinner, all of those things. Meal times, snack times, those are anchor times. Then we have bedtime. And one other time is a quiet time. Super important. Quiet time. So let's see. Here's how it works. So remember we have those four primary topics that you're studying in this 12-week period. And it could be, maybe you're like, we're just starting this, we're going to do one. Great, do one. You have flexibility within whatever the constraints, whether you're parent-directed or whether you're schooling at home, whatever your situation, you have selected what you're working on. So you can say, well, we have math, reading, and writing that you need to get done this week. And so you can help your child figure out, okay, so we have breakfast, we have snack, we have lunch, we have a quiet time, we have snack, we have dinner, we have bedtime. So there is the arc of the day. There are the anchor times. So between which of those anchor times are you going to do math? Let them pick. But they have to get it done in that time because between the next anchor times, they have something else that they need to do. So maybe they do math before morning snack. Maybe reading happens after lunch, but before quiet time. Maybe writing gets done between snack and dinner. Suddenly, the day has structure. But it doesn't feel quite so rigid and boxed in. Because what if snack is half an hour later today? Doesn't matter. We're still getting a certain amount of work done between breakfast and snack. You had a hard day the day before. Everybody ended up sleeping in. Breakfast is later. So when you're blocking out the work between the anchor times, everything is just shoved over and you accommodate. They're practicing exactly what we want them to learn, how to manage their day. There's going to be less nagging from you and more just conversation. So instead of saying, "Have you done your math yet?" we're saying, "Oh, what time are you doing math today? Where's math on your program today, on your schedule today?" And let them tell you. Then all of a sudden they'll feel competent. They'll feel like they have some control and it will require less nagging. Now, you need to be clear what they can get done in that time. And that's something that we're going to talk about a little bit more next week is figuring out, okay, so how much can you actually get done in that block of time between your anchor times? So this isn't about school. This is about giving your tween, there's like three psychological nutrients they have to have if they're going to thrive. Now, hear me out. I read this article recently by Nir Eyal, and he talks about this in his work on kids and motivation. And he says, children need a sense of autonomy, competence, and relatedness to thrive. Isn't that why we're homeschooling? So we can give them some autonomy, the ability to make choices. Inside some safe boundaries. Competence. We want them to believe that they can do the thing that they started to do. They can complete something. And relatedness. They need to know that you're there to support them, but you're not micromanaging every single thing they do. So these anchor times, that's exactly what this is helping you help your child build. Now, you know, I mentioned quiet time. So, quiet time after lunch. If you have never tried this, even if you've never tried it and now you've got tweens, maybe they're 10 years old and they've never had a quiet time, 12 years old, never had a quiet time. Don't underestimate the power of this. So, after lunch, give everyone, including yourself, a solid break. It might be 90 minutes. It seems like our bodies kind of work in 90-minute cycles. So after lunch, give everybody 90 minutes. You might have to work up to that. It might feel like forever initially to them, not to you. And they can read, sleep, think, just no screens. They're just quiet. It's like a reset. Now, if you have introverted kids, they will love it. totally love it. For extroverts, it gives their brain a chance to figure out, oh, how do I be with myself? Which is also a skill. Even extroverts need to learn how to be with themselves. And it gives you a chance to breathe, to regroup, or do those tasks that need doing without multiple interruptions. Or sit and read, or work on a hobby, or do nothing. Everyone will come back from that quiet time, recharged. And if the first part of the day was hectic, was crazy, lots of attitudes, people not really motivated or getting stuff done, it serves as sort of like a, okay, do-over. Let's try this day again. Let's reset. And when you come back from quiet time, okay, let's get into it. What are we going to do between quiet time and snack time? And then snack time and dinner. So you still have time to redeem the day, even if the first part of the day kind of fell apart. Which I should mention then, keep moving forward. So if that first block of time when your child was supposed to get something done and everything fell apart, let it go. Move on and keep doing what you have scheduled, what they have scheduled for the next blocks. There's no such thing as playing catch up. It never works. It is frustrating and stressful. So let it go, call it for what it was, and then the next day, try again. It's okay. So now here's what I want you to try. So this week, set your anchor times. Talk to your tween about it. Say, hey, you know, we eat anytime. We eat anyway. So we're going to set up our day around that. Also, then you know, okay, no, we're not having snack 10 minutes after breakfast. You know, these are kind of the intervals throughout the day where we have meals and snacks. And then we're going to have this quiet time. So you do this work in the morning, we have some lunch, then you're going to have some time to yourself. They're going to like that. Like I said, the first couple of times it might feel kind of weird if they haven't done it before and it's like, whoa, what do I do? And then they will love it. In fact, if you miss it, they will probably beg you for it. It is their time and it is your time. So set those anchor times, talk it through with your tween, and then each day help them plan their day. They're not going to automatically know how to do this. But you know what you need to get done for the week. So then you look at the day and you go, okay, we're feeling really fresh and good today. Let's see how much of this we can get done. What do you think you can get done? And it's a competition with themselves. Help them choose when to do each task. And also let them choose and then let them work that schedule. Next week we'll talk about reflecting and tweaking things and how you can help your tween do that. But by the end of the week, they'll start to feel the rhythm of, oh, okay, so there's these anchor times, I have these things that need to be done, and I get to choose when I do them. And then they'll start to see, oh, I chose that later in the day and it was awful. I'm going to do that first. And they'll start to make better choices about when to get things done. So, remember last week we talked about Spark and the Spark framework. Well, last week we set the vision. There's the S for Spark. This week we're personalizing part of that plan so it works for your child and it works in real life. And we're going to keep building from there. Now, if you have not joined the Tween Talk Facebook group yet, come on over. If you are homeschooling your tween, we are talking about that over there. You'll also get to hear how other families are applying these steps. We encourage you to contribute to the conversation there. Now, if you haven't signed up for the Homeschool Challenge Guide and the weekly email that you get with that, I will put the link in the comments below. That way, everything we cover each week lands right in your inbox, and it is simple and clear and ready when you are. So remember, you don't need the perfect daily plan. We just need this weekly rhythm that your tween can grow into. You're doing great. Your tween is too. You can do this. Until next time, keep talking with your tween.